God bless you. Welcome to podcast number 103. Come on, Gary Oliver. Help us get started here today. Come on now. Cast your cares upon the Lord. God bless you. This is Reverend C.L. Jones from Diamond Grove Baptist Church, 127 Diamond Grove Road, Skippers, Virginia. If you have your swords, can you join with me and turn it to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Let's look at the first three verses, and it reads as follows. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God's blessed word for God's blessed people. If I was tagging this, I would tag it from the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Father, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I ask, Lord, that you allow this vessel to decrease and your spirit to increase. Oh, Father, we call it victory in your word already in Jesus' precious name. Amen. From the presence of the Lord. You know, this book of Jonah is one of those books that has had many to doubt its even existence. Now, maybe I'm a little naive because I believe everything that Jesus speaks about. He speaks about Jonah witnessing to Nineveh. He also used Jonah as a comparison when he speaks about the Son of Man that will lay in the belly of the earth as Jonah laid in the belly of the big fish. You can see that in Matthew chapter 12 and chapter 16 and Luke chapter 11. But more importantly, if God did it, why wouldn't you believe it? You see, Jonah was a man. And such as some Christians today, they want everybody to be saved just because they all of a sudden got saved. You know, it's funny how amnesia can sit in, which is how those folks forget how far, how long it took God to reach way down and pull them up. And let me explain what I mean. Let's say a guy is 40 years old. He just gets saved. And now all of a sudden, because he got saved, he thinks that everybody else should be saved. Start bashing and beating up everybody else. And he forget where he was just a short time ago before he got saved. We note how God had told Jonah to arise and go and preach to the people in Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyrian, of the Assyrian Empire. And they were like a contemporary bully empire of the world and their power and influence in the region was growing daily. But Jonah was told to go east, but he decided to go west. He hopped on a ship, headed to Tarshish, and which was way west across the Mediterranean. And Jonah has purposely decided to go in the opposite direction, which he thought was from the presence of the Lord. But how many know that God is omnipresent? And when I think of this short book of Jonah, I can feel each chapter. And I say to myself, was at any given time of my life, was I like Jonah? You know, I think if you are saved, then God is calling you to serve. I believe that God's 411 is such as Ephesians 4:11 that says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then it goes on to say to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We're talking about kingdom building now, y'all. But like many, I didn't yield right at first myself. In some ways, I was doing a Jonah. I may have been going to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord, and knowing all about the righteousness of God. Maybe if I turn away from him, he wouldn't know. But how many know that God knows everything? God knows it all, omnipotent. If you follow this book along, you will see that Jonah in chapter 1 runs from God. But in chapter 2, he runs right into God. Jonah got on a ship to Tarshish, but a bad storm came about and the men on the ship started to draw lots to see whose God was angry. Jonah lost. So he encouraged them to throw him overboard. When they did, the storm ceased. Meanwhile, God had produced a big fish to gobble Jonah up. So now in chapter 3, we see that Jonah decides to run with God. The fish vomits out Jonah up upon dry land. So after God spoke the second time, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh to preach. He preached that yet 40 days and Nineveh should be overthrown. Notice Jonah 3:5 where it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And God repented of their evil. So it would appear to Jonah that God had changed his mind. So now Jonah wants to run God. First we saw Jonah when he tried to run from God, and then he tried to run, he ran into God, and then he ran with God, and now he wants to run God and tell God what to do. And the whole thing, it becomes very disappointing when Jonah gets angry. Because look at what Jonah gets angry about. As Jonah was watching, sitting up on a hill watching Nineveh, God prepared a gourd, and this gourd gave Jonah some shade. Now a worm came and smote the gourd, and the gourd died, and Jonah got angry. God even asked, why is it that you can have pity on this gourd, but I can't pity more than 120,000 1,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Now, if we are honest and think of how God's mercy works over our life, mercy, you know, we don't deserve the mercy, but he gives us mercy. Should we be angry about anything? Now, don't get me wrong. Anger is a basic human emotion. And we all should be angry towards sin. But Ephesians 4:26-7 reminds us, it said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him that pleasure. And we learn that anger is not sinful in itself, but it depends on how you handle it, because we are warned against uncontrolled anger. The New Living Translation, Proverbs 29:11 says, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Now, I don't claim to be an expert on anger, but I do know that when I feel anger arising, I think about the cross. And I'm sure that the Father was not pleased with the way this world was handling his Son. The world beat his Son. The world nailed his Son to the cross. The world pierced his Son in the side just to be sure that his Son had given up the ghost. And as Jonah, the world buried his Son in the belly of this earth for 3 days. But on that third day, when Jesus got up out of that grave, we were able to have hope and eternal life. We were able to believe that we could be forgiven unto salvation. We all should be praying for less anger and more love. For God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son to this world. Now, God is just. But remember that he also is love. Like the songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. We need to stop running from the presence of the Lord. Run towards his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm not going to Tarshish. I'm going to heaven. Anybody want to go? Anybody want to go with me? Look, first you got to accept Jesus Christ. So if you never have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you're not sure, say this with me. Say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of Mary. Lord, I believe they went to Calvary and died for my sins. Lord, I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Lord, thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. The word says, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. Let us go ahead and pray for this country. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your presence on this world, your presence in our trouble, your presence in our homes, your presence with this government here, your presence behind the prison walls and in the hospital. We pray for your presence in our churches. We pray for your presence in our hearts. And Lord, we would be so careful to give you the praise and the glory that you reasonably deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like I always say, keep each other in prayer. And until we meet again,